Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
It's been a hectic day here at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Looks like gold and silver are beginning to firm up here at these levels. There was a pretty good drop in the stock market today, but it did come back to some degree. The plunge protection team came back, and the Dow was only down a slightly under 2%. But first, let's get started with the gold, as we usually do. We have gold basically unchanged at 1129.80, up a few cents today. We had a high of 1131 and a low of 1121. Silver's up down four at 1439. Platinum was down 14 at 859. Palladium was down 12 at 495. So those metals got hit. The white metals got hit a little bit harder than gold. USDX today was down 0.17 at 98.85. Crude oil got hit once again, 1.72 at 29.90. And the paper markets today were, as I mentioned, the Dow down 1.8%, 295 points at 16,153. The NASDAQ was down 103 points, 2.25% at 45.16. The S&P was down slightly under 2% at 19.03. The 10-year yield, 1.86. Down 0.10, and the euro, of course, a little strength, 109. European markets, London was down 2.25%. Germany was down pretty much like the Dow, just slightly under 2%. Very little action in the Asian markets. So, you know, when Wall Street talks about gold being the next thing that folks should be purchasing, kind of makes you
wonder what they're up to.
What are they up to? But prices for gold have jumped 6% this year, and of course, 6% this year, and that makes gold the best performing commodity. And the Dow is down more than 1,000 points. The Nasdaq has lost 8% of its value. And whether you want to blame it on the falling oil prices or China or geopolitical uncertainty or Wall Street and, you know, the over-leveraged stock market, you know, you name it, you take your pick. Wall Street still does look to gold as a safe haven, and they will eventually get there. And we don't need all of Wall Street to be investing in gold and silver. There will only be a small percentage of the carryover from that will make gold and silver explode. And we certainly have seen stock markets around the world tumble dramatically, and folks are looking to protect their capital. And gold has always played and filled that desire to protect their capital. There's an article out today about the high-yield junk bonds. But hey, this is just a sign. It's a bad sign for the stock market if you care to pay attention. They're showing negative returns of almost 2% for the year so far, negative returns of 7.6% for the last 6 months. This is according to the Bank of America. And it is significant. The negative return is especially significant given that the month of January has recorded positive returns in 25 of the 29 years that Bank of America's high yield index has existed, or 86.2% of the time. You have the S&P, that's down. It's also headed for the biggest monthly decline in nearly 6 years. So again, folks, this is more than just a leaf in the breeze. This is like a 2x4 hurtling towards you. You know, so pay attention. And the only best way to duck from that 2x4 is by purchasing gold and silver. And we got some great products. I got some 90% coinage in that premiums come down a little bit. It's a little bit easier to get. So we have that for you. And we'll be putting together a package for you. The U.S. junk rated companies are defaulting at a faster rate than the emerging markets, the U.S. junk-rated companies. And again, this is from Bank of America. In December, the trailing 12-month default rate stood at 3.4% for U.S. high-yield issuers. That's greater than the 3.1% rate for emerging markets. So, yeah, we're doing worse than they're defaulting. U.S. junk-rated companies, junk bonds, are defaulting at a faster rate than emerging markets. And it shows by what has been issued in January. They had $6.25 billion of high-yield bonds sold in the year in January. That's down sharply from $17.6 billion in January of 2015 and $28 billion in 2014. So, sign of the times.
Yeah, you were talking about the stock markets and what's happened so far. I went back and I compared the prices from December 31st through today at about 2 p.m. on the 9 economic indicators that we follow at on the American Survival magazine every week. Gold is up 6.9%. since December 31st. Silver is up 3.3% since December 31st. Platinum fell 4%. Palladium fell 13%. All right. Crude oil fell 19.1%. U.S. dollar index rose 0.2%. Dow Jones Industrial fell 7.3%. NASDAQ fell 9.7%. New York Stock Exchange fell 7.1%. The equities we follow, the three we just mentioned, they fell an average of about 8% at the same time that gold went up almost 7%. That's a 15% difference. Right? If you'd invested $1,000 in gold, you'd have $1,007. If you'd invested $1,000 in the equities, you'd have 900 and change. It's just interesting to me to see that the only three items that are up in this month are gold, silver, and the dollar index. All the rest of the metals, the other industrial metals, crude oil, and the equities, down. And not just a little bit, they're down, you know, significantly, 8% for the equities. And the implication is that going to have the same thing? Where will we see the same thing in the month of February? What do you think, Melody?
Well, I mean, you're going to see volatility this year, and you know it's going to continue. So there isn't anything to show to change it. I was reading an article this morning about how, you know, the Fed is throwing around to the banks about a negative rate.
Yeah, no.
You know, so it's getting closer and closer, and you know, you can, you know, to me, that's part of a quantitative easing. It's just another program that they need in order to keep the system going. But you have so much distraction.
Keep the Ponzi scheme alive.
Yeah, but you got so much distractions, and I think that's why they're so focused on this election. I don't remember elections being this. I mean, you know, people are eating and breathing this election, and for what reason?
Well, because Trump.
So it's another distraction. It's another
distraction. It is to some extent. I get that, but just the same, Trump has made changes, and Trump has added, I mean, a new level. he's turned the election into reality TV. And it might be reality to some extent. Perhaps it's not fixed in the same sense that the markets are fixed.
No,
and rigged and the rest, that sort of thing. It may be that Trump has added an element of liveliness for sure and candor. And so it's an interesting.
Well, it just goes to show you. Well, it just goes to show you how much. They just make a mockery of it when the Democrats are chosen by flipping a coin. You know, like what's the point? I mean, why even bother going through all this? Except people are making millions and billions of dollars off of these elections. I mean, when you have a handful of candidates that are going to be spending, Trump's going to be spending close to $1 billion. Bloomberg said that, hey, if he needs to come into the race, he has no problem spending $1 billion. Well, who does all that billions of dollars go to? So, you know, it's disgusting. It really is disgusting.
Well, a lot of people are fed up with it. I saw one article where it said that, which the headline was something like this. It said Americans may elect a president this term that they actually dislike. They're pointing out that Hillary, nobody likes Hillary. A lot of people don't like Trump. I don't even know who the third one was they were talking about. It might be Cruz, might be Rubio. But they're pointing out we may wind up actually electing a president this next election that most Americans actually don't like. I think it's evidence that people have finally said enough. They kind of get it, or maybe they get it a lot, I don't know, in terms of understanding that something's going on where the system is rigged, and it isn't rigged in their favor. This is like the jobs and the industries that got shipped over to China in the last 10, 15 years. That didn't do us any good. Didn't help the American people. And it's going to leave us a legacy that's going to be harmful. We have illegal aliens pouring across the border, and no one in government, not Republicans or Democrats, are doing anything significant to stop that influx. They want it the same way they want the Muslims in Europe. They want Europe and the United States taken down. So they'll bring in a bunch of immigrants. And they'll bet that most of you people are too polite to say anything about it because you might be accused of racism or something. So you won't defend your country. And you won't defend yourselves. And the result will be it isn't going to be good. You know, somewhere along the line, we really do need to recognize that this country has value that should be defended, not exploited. And the people need to pick up on that insight. The government doesn't think so at all. They think you're here to be exploited and sold down the river. It's the basis for the North American Union between Mexico, Canada, and the United States. It's the basis for the New World Order. Our government is populated by treasonous whores who have no constitutional authority to try to tie us into Canada and Mexico. They have no constitutional authority to give us a new world order, and yet they're trying to do it. And it'll be worse for all of us if they succeed.
Well, it's already done. It's only that connection between Mexico and Canada that has to be completed. We're already globalized, and most of everything is put into place. They just need to make the announcement and get people to accept it for what it is. And this came out of Washington today, and I couldn't believe. It just gets crazier and crazier. And Washington, District of Columbia, voted today to approve a bill that includes a proposal to pay residents a stipend not to commit crimes.
Oh, my God. But wait.
There's already a program in effect in Richmond, California, that does the same thing, and they say that it has contributed to deep reductions in crime. Under the bill, city officials would identify up to 200 people a year who are considered at risk of either committing or becoming victims of violent crime. Those people would be directed to participate in behavior therapy and other programs. If they fulfill those obligations and stay out of trouble, they would be paid. The bill doesn't specify the value, but participants in the California program receive up to $9,000 per year. Now, it gets even better. Now, the mayor said the program would cost $4.9 million over 4 years, including $460,000 a year in stipend payments. Well, if you multiply that times four, it only comes to like 1.8, but yet they're using $4.9 million as how much the program would cost. So it's like, well, where's the other, you know, $3 million or, you know, going to, you know, who's that going to?
Government employees and government supervisors.
The program would be run independently of the police department, and participants would remain anonymous.
Oh, my God. We could give that money to Hillary or to Bill. All right, we could give it to politicians. We could bribe them to stop betraying us. This is a brilliant idea, Melody. We're going to pay people not to commit crimes. And what happens when they get together and they strike, they form their own union and say, well, you're not paying us enough money. You have to pay us more money or we're going to commit crimes. What then? I mean, the whole thing.
I know. It is bizarre. I mean, oh, I know.
Effing insane.
I know. It's crazy. But I thought, you know, but you know what, Al? It's just part of the sign of the, you know, the leaf, the 2x4 that's floating through. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
But it's just another, wake up, people. It's not going to become much better.
Until the people actually do wake up and tell them, look, this is, stop it. No more brilliant ideas. You understand? If you've got 200 people that you know are habitual criminals, even if they're in Congress, arrest them and throw them in prison.
Well, it has to be violent. But you know what the amazing thing, Al, is this program is already in effect in California.
And I know what it'll be.
Are you kidding me?
How much a year do they get?
Up to $9,000.
$9,000 to not commit crimes? And what if they do commit a crime? Are they fined $100? Is that what happens? We're going to get tough, slap their wrist. We're going to give you $9,000 not to commit crimes. But if you do, we're going to fine you $100 every time you commit a crime. And we catch you.
It really is insanity, isn't it?
It is. Absolutely. My God. I think it must be, you know, there's that gas leak out there in California. Maybe these people are getting too much of the natural gas coming up out of the ocean. And I don't know. Talk about insanity.
But we're getting ready to go to a break.
I'm not ready. Do we have to?
We don't have to.
Oh, all right, if we have to. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom, and we are talking about the madness that dominates our society right now. We're going to take a break while we catch our breath and stop hyperventilating. We'll be right back on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
since the beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. What's next, Melody?
Well, we have the little special here, 90% silver coinage, 90% silver coinage, $25 face value, along with an almost uncirculated $5 Liberty gold piece. It includes all your shipping costs for $720. And if you'd like to have a quarter ounce American gold bullion coin with a 90% $25 face value, that little package would be $700. $700 for the quarter ounce American gold eagle coin, 90% silver, $25 face value at $700. And for $720, you can exchange that quarter ounce American gold eagle coin for an AU $5 Liberty gold piece. They're both beautiful little packages, 90% silver. The premiums, again, have come down a little bit, and it's a great time to be picking it up. So give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And what's next, Al?
I got a caller from some guy named Jim from West Virginia. I don't know if we've ever talked to him before or not, but he's on the line, and we'll see what he has to say. A new voice.
Something's kind of bugging me a little bit. Melody said that this election stuff is a distraction. I do believe that that's correct, 100% correct. I think even the Patriots ought to more or less ignore this personality parade until we start hearing them address the issues. Well, they've touched, they kind of touched on the TPP, okay. But until we start hearing them talk about the immigrant issue, the NSA, the TSA. This fellow out in Oregon was murdered, 9 shots. They planted a gun on him. Until they start talking about the pending economic collapse and all the ramifications thereof. Until they start talking about some real issues, I think we need to more or less see it just as a distraction, as a Punch and Judy show to keep us all, look at that. Because neither one of them's dealing with it. Now, every one of these guys appears to be a warmonger. I was very disturbed also to find out that Ted Cruz was part of the Bush White House, and he chose for us the fellow who's now the head of the U.S. Supreme Court. And his wife was one of the authors of the North American Union stuff, but we haven't heard them talk about the North American Union.
I wouldn't vote for Cruz if you paid me, and you'd have to pay me an awful lot to even consider it. Cruz took $1 million from Wall Street back in the day and neglected to report that on his one of his documents when he ran for the Senate. That, to me, number one, nobody forgets $1 million. All right, George Soros might, but the average person doesn't forget. I forgot I got $1 million. Just skipped my mind. Bunk. He didn't forget that. It's not an accident. But more importantly, that guy is owned and operated by Wall Street. He didn't get $1 million because he has a likable smile. He got it because he will put out for the people who handed him that money. And I'll bet you that you put him into office, and it's going to maybe even make Obama look like a better deal. So I wouldn't touch Cruz with a 10-foot.
His wife works for Goldman Sachs.
And the kingpin of all, the source of all the blood money all over the world, the central banksters, nobody has touched the Federal Reserve.
Yeah.
Because the Federal Reserve are the people who fund all the intelligence agencies. The intelligence agencies do the spying, the blackmailing, the mugging, the thugging, the bribing, worldwide working together. But until these candidates start talking about some of this stuff, I'm looking at it as a personality parade, and I'm just getting a little sick of it, even from the Patriot broadcasters. But I think it is mostly distraction. Look at that. Tell me more. Storytellers is what we've got rather than dealing with real issues.
I think we could do a program of our own on this. We could call it Dancing with the Politicians.
Well, this whole thing's ridiculous. For instance, the President of the United States cannot produce an executive order. It's not constitutional. But the CEO of the United States of America Corporation can. The government of the United States cannot own land except for naval installations, and I think that area around Washington, D.C., but the United States of America Corporation can, and the BLM is a private corporation. Nobody's dealing with a corporate issue. Now, I'll give Alex Jones and all the others, and there's a bunch of them. I can't really knock them. I give them credit for bringing out false flags and the Federal Reserve, but they will not deal with a corporate issue, and the whole system has to fall. The United States of America is the biggest corporation in world history. It is also the most bankrupt corporation in world history. So what we're seeing is the band playing on the Titanic as the Titanic sinks. But until I start hearing Candace talking like that, Rand Paul, I give him a lot of credit. Mm-hmm. But unless and or until we start seeing real issues being discussed, I'm just sick of this election garbage. I really am.
Well, we were just going to talk about it.
Well, what I'm trying to say is you're correct. It is a distraction. It is a distraction.
It really is. Because you know what? You're absolutely right. What have they said? I mean, they've just repeated themselves, and they're repeating nothing.
We're hearing problems, no solutions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know exactly how to say this at this point, but unless and or until the American people start expecting these guys to give them some answers, we ain't going to get anywhere. Because the media, there's one little story, very short little story. There's a fellow who had a small county newspaper a number of years back, good Lord, a couple decades back. And he said, if we didn't have election every 2 years, I'd go broke. So, you know, all this money which the camp goes into the campaigns, who does it enrich? The mainstream enemy. I mean, the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But this, that's true. That's where the money really does go. It goes into advertising.
They get to live. They get to live high on the hog while they're campaigning. Campaigning. It's, you know, they get.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Don't they get to keep a part of that as long as they can? You know.
Oink oink. As long as they
you
can
remember
eat
when?
Stuff.
What do you mean? What do you mean? Who gets to keep a part of it?
The candidate.
Huh?
Well, I don't know about
that.
I don't know if they get to keep it or not exactly.
They can.
But do you remember when Bo Greitz ran for president? The way the law was, I'm trying to remember, but the way the law was, if you ran for president and I guess up until the time you were nominated, if I recall correctly, by your party, you didn't get the nomination, didn't get on the ballot. You got to keep whatever funds you'd raised.
Yeah.
Well, the one
I'm thinking
thing
about,
I was
what do you think, Jim? Shall we run for president and vice president this year and see how much funds we can raise?
Well, it's just like a lot of charities. They sit there and gobble up the money, and it never goes anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's much the same. Tell them what they want to hear and take their money. But once again, this whole shebang blows my mind because we have all this talk and no answers. They're hitting our nerves. All people are ticked about this, ticked about that, ticked about the other. But the simple truth of the matter is that we have a government which is destroying the American economy.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the number one cause of poverty. And unless and or until we deal with the issues such as the state saying, BLM, you're out of here, 10th Amendment action.
Mm-hmm.
Until we start having county sheriffs saying, hey, Department of Agriculture, you're out of here, you're a private corporation. We haven't heard any of that spoken, nothing.
No one can imagine what you're talking, or very few people can even imagine what you're talking about.
Well, tell me
when we start talking about these government agencies that run as private corporations, the average American just kind of looks at you and gapes. They don't get it. They don't understand the significance. They don't understand the danger. You know, this goes to the whole thing about privatizing government, which was originally, initially at least, advocated by Reagan, if I understand correctly and I recall correctly. And he was the first, oh, we need to privatize government. Well, that was a bad idea, right? We don't need to privatize government. We need to keep everybody who is ostensibly exercising government powers, they got to be in the government. They can't be some corporate agency that acts for the government but isn't part of the government. They got to be in there, and they've got to be subject to the rules that are imposed on government. See, that's a big deal with these corporations. They're not subject to the same constitutional rules as the departments of government. These agencies, they can go out and do things that the departments can't.
Well, it preceded Reagan by half a century.
Well,
okay,
it's not a new thing exactly, but he was the first one to step up, to my recollection, I might be wrong, and say, we need to privatize government. Government is the problem. Well, yeah, it is the problem, but, you know.
He tried to legitimize it. But, hold on.
The presumption was that if we privatized government by creating more government corporations, these corporations would run like corporations, they'd be efficient, they wouldn't waste as much money. All sounded like a good idea, except that these corporations are greedy, greedy, greedy. And once you give them a position of power, they're going to exploit that position to make more money, more money, more money for themselves and their stockholders.
Well, definitely starting in the 1930s, they created these corporations like the FCC, for instance.
Yeah,
and then they started writing their own. Then they started writing their own rules and regulations.
Yep.
People got ticked about it. Says, no, wait a second. They're writing their own rules and regulations. They're not legislating this stuff. They're just writing their own rules and regulations. They said, okay, FCC, you have control over this. So they just started writing this off. Some people got really ticked. They said Congress is supposed to legislate, not these agencies.
That's right.
So they came up with the Administrative Procedures Act, APA, 1946.
Mm-hmm.
So then it was a situation, well, they'll put the rules and regulations in the Federal Register, and if Congress doesn't object, oh, they have effective law. It's not law, it's color of law. Last year I heard there was 81,000 pages of these. Now, it's a corporation. It, by law, it has to pay corporate income taxes. Now, as a publicly traded corporation, there will at least be some oversight, like from the Securities and Exchange Commission. But it's a private corporation. Ooh. And they would have to have, if I had a corporation working in West Virginia, I would have to register with the Secretary of State as such. I would have to have a license to do business in West Virginia. Not that I agree with licensing. But do they have a license to operate? It's a total racketeering system. And one way or the other, it will collapse. Now, how? It's the perfect storm. We have a bond market crashing, and that's going to affect the insurance companies. That's going to destroy insurance
derivatives.
And all the institutions are getting battered. It'll batter the banks. The first big bank goes down. FDIC only has 1/4 of 1 penny for each dollar in American banks. It's going to hit retirement situations. It's going to blast state and local governments with their debt service issues. Now, the one thing I will say about financial survival, you all are dealing with what's really important because economics drives politics.
Yeah.
But we need to stay focused on the economics so that people can survive. But the American public needs to be aware of the fact that this is government by corporation. I remember when I was a kid, he was a U.S. Post Office. It was Charleston 14, West Virginia was our address. Capital W, capital V, little a. The Postal U.S. Postal Service Corporation, incidentally, I think there are 21 vice presidents of that corporation. U.S. Postal Service Corporation supplanted it. And we had the zip code. But, you know, there are so many things. For instance, the U.S. Post Office couldn't open mail. Guess what? The U.S. Postal Service can open mail, folks. Now, well, I don't know what's going to happen, but the bottom line is we're seeing a personality parade, even on the part of the Patriot people who are just spending a lot of time discussing this selection. But nobody has yet to say little things like every member of the government, federal government, are administrators in a bankruptcy. Back in the 70s, maybe late 60s, my dad, well, when he called certain congressmen, they call him back. He said, well, at the beginning of every new Congress, every 2 years, guy gets up in front of him and says, well, we're operating under suspended constitution, and we're all administrators in a bankruptcy. Has even Ron Paul or Rand Paul told us that? Hell no. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But all this stuff is going on, and what do we have is just a mass of distractions. They're not dealing with the issues. So
I'll tell you what, we've got about 1 minute left till we take a break. Got something you'd like to close out on, Jim?
Say again?
Do you have something you'd like to conclude with? We've got a minute until we take our break.
Very simple. Y'all are doing a good job. Just focus on the money, honey, the dough, bro. Catch you later. God bless. Bye.
Thank you, Jim. God bless. You know, I understand something about administrative law that very few people appreciate. And you can find this if you were inclined to look in the article on administrative law and American jurisprudence second, which is a massive encyclopedia of legal principles and doctrines and whatever. Administrative law combines all three fundamental powers of government under one single entity. They get the legislative, the executive, and the judicial powers all function together. Our Constitution says we have separation of powers. When you combine all three of those powers together, you have created a sovereign, right? And it's not you. They get to call the shots. If you're going into administrative law, they can do virtually anything they want. There's ways of getting around this, but we can talk more about it if we like when we return. Melody, I don't know if you want to talk about this or not, but administrative law is dangerous, unconstitutional. It's just more evidence of the crimes that are committed against the American people by the government of the United States. Let's take a break for some commercials. We'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adesky here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. We've got a caller, Jerry, from Indiana. Hello, Jerry. How are you doing?
Hey, Al. How are you today?
Can't complain.
Good. Melody, I hope you're doing okay.
I'm fine.
I just wanted to chime in just for a brief moment on, nobody talks about the Federal Reserve. Rand Paul does a little bit, and I liked his dad a lot better than I do Rand, but, he's never real. I think he's weak on immigration. Somebody said the other night, one of these talking heads, that, he was voted right in there with Bush and Rubio on amnesty here a while back, the Gang of Eight.
Yeah.
And then the other thing, and I don't know how true this is, but they said that Jeb Bush has spent $59 million on this campaign total. Now, this is total from starting to, I guess, Iowa. Now, to have 3 or 4% of the vote, to me, our veterans could use some of that money. You got all these campaign donors, coming up with this kind of money for, a $240,000 a year job.
Yeah.
I just, and I know the lobbyists are going to be factored into all this. But, and the other thing, and then I'll get off of here, just a comment. The scariest thing to me about the Iowa caucuses, that there were that many people that supported Bernie Sanders and or Hillary Clinton.
No.
My goodness, what's this world coming to?
Well, this is one of the consequences of sending jobs overseas. And it's probably a consequence of allowing illegal aliens to flood into this country. They're taking jobs. Some jobs are deported, and some jobs are taken by illegal aliens. And when people don't have jobs and they get hungry, they'll go vote for anybody who promises to put a chicken in the pot. And if that's what Bernie Sanders is doing, he's going to collect those people. They're going to support him. All right? And it goes, it has, to my mind, it reflects relatively high unemployment rates. Because people want more out of their lives. What are you going to do with them? You know, you can't blame them on one level. I get that they're doing what I would think is the wrong thing, but just the same, you have to understand they're trying to put, you know, trying to put food on the table. Bernie promises to do that. The existing government certainly isn't. They've been, you know, they're making things worse for us, not better.
That's true, Al. And I think it was Greg Hunter on your program. Correct me if I'm wrong on this. Said that the new trade deal, the new TPP, in Chapter 10, says that they can relocate, if they do bring a company into America, then they can bring the work, the foreign workers in under this TPP.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane, and it's just more evidence that the government is destroying this country. This isn't an accident. It isn't a misunderstanding. Your president, your vice president, your congressman, your senators, your federal judges, they are working to tear this country down. And the evidence there for anybody who wants to look at it, it's just hard for people to believe. You see it and you say, oh, no, they can't. That can't be intentional. It's just stupid. No, it's not stupid. It's intentional.
Sure it is.
We are the only power around that's big enough to tear down the New World Order. They need to destroy this nation for the New World Order to gain power over the whole world. We're the biggest threat. We're the one threat that could probably stop it from taking place. But if they tear us down to where we, who knows, divide into five countries or however many, you know, regions, countries, it's a terrible and sad thing, and it's shameful that the people haven't stood up, rioted, and made it abundantly clear to every congressman, senator, president, vice president, do it one more time or try your ass for treason. If you're found guilty, you'll die dancing on the end of a rope. All right? And make them understand that we're not fooling. This is going to happen. We're not talking about just one. We're going to make a little example, slap a wrist. No. If it's necessary to hang every man and woman in the Congress of the United States and in the Senate, then we should do that. And if we're not willing to do it, then you can kiss this country goodbye.
I agree, Al. I agree 100%. I think we need a French Revolution here in America. We're all got beheaded.
Yeah.
They all got, you know.
Nobody wants it. Nobody can hardly even believe it. And they just keep looking at us and laughing at us and taking and taking and taking, and we put up with it. And it's going to happen to our detriment, our refusal to fight these guys. It's going to break us before we're done.
Yeah. Very well put, Al. I'm going to get off of here. Thanks for your program. I appreciate it, Melody and Al.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate your
call.
Thanks, Jerry. All right, Melody, what's next?
Well,
let's
move on, please.
You don't want to do the segment on how to make a Molotov cocktail, then, is that right?
No, I don't.
All right.
No, I don't.
All right, then we won't talk about that today.
No.
I don't know. What have we got?
We were going to go to the feds, how they were looking to turn banks, how they want to know how banks would handle the negative rates. We've talked about interest rates that are turning negative around the world. And after the annual stress test for 2016, the Fed said it's going to assess the resilience of the big banks to a number of possible situations, including one where the rate on the three-month U.S. Treasury bill stays below zero for a prolonged period. So last week, I think it was last week or the week before, where Japan came out and decided to go into the negative rates. You have The central banks of Switzerland, Sweden, Denmark, they've all have been lending rates negative. Federal officials are, taking note and saying, well, you know what, maybe that's something that we can do here. New York Fed President William Dudley said last month that the policymakers were not thinking seriously. If you're not thinking seriously, then why would you even think it at all, particularly when it's such an important thing? But he says, I suppose if the economy were to unexpectedly weaken dramatically and we decided that we needed to use a full array of monetary policy tools to provide stimulus, it's something that we would contemplate as a potential action. So, I do believe
for a significant decline in the economy.
Absolutely.
And then they're going to repair it with negative interest rates.
Correct. Yes.
See, you give me some money, and I will charge you for giving me your money. You see?
Yeah.
It's really very logical. And, the economists that we have running the Federal Reserve and the government, it just makes perfect sense. So I just stop saying, It's insane. It's Alice meets the Red Queen, for God's sake.
It's nuts. The central banks around the world. It's just not ours.
I know. And what does that tell us?
I know.
It tells us the problem is systemic.
Exactly.
There is something in the nature of fractional reserve banking and or fiat money, the debt-based monetary system that has now reached a point of absurdity that's so insane. We've got people, we're going to do negative interest rates. They're trying to promote this as if it's a rational idea. It's crazy. It's like someone holds you up on the street and you give them all the money out of your wallet and then you give them the PIN number on your credit card. Here, take this as a tip. Go ahead, take that too. It's insane. Let's see if we can get hold. Let's see what Bill has to say from Detroit. Hello, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. And I'm happy to hear your show. And you're just on a topic I really wanted to hear, because tomorrow I'll be at a meeting with a few retirees who have just had some of their money released to them. And I wanted to find out about Melody's IRA retirement program, a rollover program. So if she could just elaborate a little bit on that, and I can take some of this information to some folks who are, I'm sure, will be happy to hear it and avoid negative interest rates. I would be just thrilled to hear it.
Absolutely. I'd love to. The company I use, and, I've been doing this over 21 years, and when I find a good company and they have a good history, I stay with them. I don't change around that much just to get lower rates or better rates and so forth. Because the service is important, particularly in this type of a business. The company I use is Gold Star Trust. They're one of the longest firms of handling the precious metals IRA. Gold Star Trust, they're out of Texas. The precious metals are stored in the Delaware Depository. So it's very simple. There's a particular product that is allowed in the precious metals. And it's very simple. You open up an account. It's a self-directed IRA. You can have the traditional or the Roth. It's a simple application, name, number, social security number, where the funds are at, and directions on how to get the funds to get the account funded. Once the funds are received, they contact me, and we purchase the metals. We get them shipped. And everything is processed through Gold Star. If you go to their website, goldstartrust.com, it's a very user-friendly website. You can download a lot of the applications that you would need for them to complete. We're here to help anyone that is completing an application if they need assistance. And it will give you a lot of the details as far as the fees and everything. So print that out and take it with you to your meeting. And we'll provide a lot of information that, we don't have the time to go over here. But it's goldstartrust.com.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then make sure that you have my phone number on the precious metals broker portion of the application.
I sure will.
All right.
Thank you very much.
That was great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill. What have we got left, Melody? About 3 minutes?
UBS Bank shares plunge as rich investors withdraw money. Swiss banks, UBS, their shares slid today on news that investors have been pulling billions of dollars out of its division that serves the wealthy clients. So folks are pulling out their cash from these banks. So something must be going on, Al.
Somebody, they're anticipating. I mean, you look around, you know, like we were talking, this has been a terrible month for stocks. It's not the worst they've ever had, but it certainly hasn't been a good month. January hasn't been a good month for stocks. Everyone understands that. Things seem to be happening. Things seem to be piling up. You know, people have used the avalanche analogy for a couple of years now. You know, it just keeps on more snow and more snow, and at some point, one little flake is going to fall down and trigger an avalanche. It'll add just enough weight to get things going, and things are going to fall. It certainly looks like we're on the verge of that. You know, we might not see that avalanche for a couple of years, but we might see it before summertime, too. You don't know. It's just sensible, you know, to do what you can to protect yourself. And one of the things, 1 month doesn't make a year or a decade, but we pointed out that gold is up almost, what, 7%? Is that what we said? For the first month of the year, and the balance are down, the equities are down 8%, at least the three that we talked about. Doesn't prove things, but it certainly gives you an indication that now may be the time. Maybe gold is really starting to run up again. And if that's the case, get on board. It certainly looks, whatever is going to happen to gold, it looks like the stock markets have not seen the end of their decline. You can at least say that much, or at least to me, that much seems probable at this time. Stocks are probably going down. Gold may be going up, could be going up big time. You know, it's just more evidence. Now's the time. Take advantage as best you can, not just as an investment, but as an attempt to protect your wealth and your capital. You know, if things happen, we've seen reports that the bond markets are perhaps in danger. If this thing goes south, all of that paper wealth is going to be destroyed. People are sitting on however much money they have stored in the form of a paper document, a bond, a stock, whatever. That is in danger. There's much less danger involved in gold. Get some physical gold, keep it where you can hide it and protect it, and have some capital if and when everything really goes south. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you'll tune in at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, money, must be funny.